So we're going to reconvene our meeting for the hearing of the Mount Shasta Ski Park. And we are, the public hearing's closed.
Thank you.
The public hearing is closed and we are now at commission discussion. So, let's see here. So, regarding the highway intersection, there's a mitigation measure that says an overflow turn will be constructed just north of Highway 89 and the Ski Park Highway intersection to prevent vehicles from backing up onto 89. However, I thought in the project proponents there was comment that there was one built 2 miles up. So is this duplicative?
Yeah.
You could, we are answering questions, so you're more than welcome to approach to answer the question.
Ski Park Highway, when you turn onto it, there's a railroad tracks, which is several hundred feet up. Mm-hmm. Okay. We put a warning sign there about traffic mitigation. Okay. But we don't stop traffic till 2.25 miles up, is where our what's called our cinder pit location now, which is a turnaround. Okay. So the folks have an option then to be metered in and out. When the car comes out, we let one car in. And this is only at capacity, which we never hit even last year, and we have rooms to the park. It has happened in the past. When we had smaller parking, we didn't have the additional lots. But it's 2.5 miles up, and it's already there. So it's an easy access for them if they decide they don't want to, because we close the road, basically, up and down, so we measure the flow. And then at that time, the folks are sitting there, they can see that we have a flashing trans-stripe sign at the road track saying, traffic stop 2.25 miles ahead. So at that time, if they don't want to go up and wait, they can actually turn around in that area. It's a wide area there that people do turn around. A lot of the people we talk about that are over there with some of the mitigation problems have is from Snowman's Hill, because all of those no parking signs on both sides of that area, it gets pretty crazy when people are trying to sled.
Yeah.
And
so
that's where the impact comes into us there.
So with that intersection of 89 there and Ski Park Highway, if you were to construct this overflow turn area, is that duplicative of what you're already doing at the cinder pit?
Yes, it is.
And
we do not want to stop people that close to the highway, because that's when you get a backup. We had a backup, the one thing that Kurt talked about earlier, the one time that I even know of in my 15-year career that we had a problem down there, was that they were stopping traffic before the railroad tracks. And that's where it gets backed up, because then they can't turn off the
There's
highway.
There's nowhere to go.
Right. Okay. As long as we mitigate it up the road, where we have our turnaround area, 2.25 miles up the 5 miles Ski Park Highway, it gives them an opportunity to make a decision whether they want to continue on with their day, if they want to go back to town, if they want to.
Okay. So for staff, how did that mitigation measure get recommended? Because I'm thinking if they have one 2 miles up, that is probably a safer turnaround point than, like he says, at that intersection of 89.
It's Howard Wire.
Excuse me?
It was Wire that you're doing it, right? It's Wire you requesting.
Yeah, why are you requesting it? Yeah, how's not the right?
That was a conversation between the consultant and Caltrans, so Jim Fitzgerald.
Jim Fitzgerald, okay.
So the location of the turnaround doesn't, there's no defined point. It was just sort of, we need it. And it's what's more important is that it's in their operations plan, and it's implemented as they're saying. And then at the turnaround itself, we need to define, like, have some, you know, a plan, like, this is the cones we're going to put out, this is where the staff are going to stand, and they're going to turn this way. So it's more just making it more formal.
So, yeah.
So whether it's right north of the highway or 2 miles up, doesn't matter. It's
okay.
Just, and certainly, having it 2 miles up allows more people to wait as people leave, which is benefit as well.
Okay. So, I mean, just looking at this mitigation measure, if we can amend it to allow for this alternative location, because when it says, you know, at that intersection, it sounds like that could cause problems if they put it there right at that Highway 89 intersection.
Okay.
I mean, do you guys all agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I have a question. Excuse me, Jim.
Oh,
one
sorry.
More question, sorry. Mr. Cowardin had mentioned that there was potentially funding for a Highway 89 blinking light that was paid for by the ski park. Do you know about that with Caltrans? Was that done? Because it's, according to Mr. Cowardin, it was not implemented.
As far as I know, it was done, and there's been several other improvements that have been done as well.
Okay.
Between the ski park and Caltrans.
Okay. Is there a blinking light?
No. There's street lights.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was a part of what the ski park paid for.
Okay. Could you come to the podium, please, and explain what you need?
I've never seen the blinking yellow. I've seen the street light overhead. Yep.
So my name is Brendan Hickey, 4941 North Old Stage on Shasta. The ski park in the past put in those lights, those street lights right there at that intersection, and the ski park actually used to pay that power bill. That has gone transitioned, probably paid for by the Caltrans now.
Okay, but there was, and maybe I misunderstood, but there was a blinking like warning light that was paid for, or is that different?
I don't have specifics on that, but I do know that those the street lights were paid for by the ski park.
Okay, great, thank you. And then, so knowing the condition of Ski Park Highway with all its numerous potholes that you've got to dodge, which are really fun when it's iced over. Is that road, it's just a federal road that you have to get a use permit on, or is it a co-op road?
It's a co-op road.
With like Sierra Pacific and the other landowners?
Forest Service and Sierra Pacific.
Is there a maintenance schedule as part of your co-op agreement?
We do all of it. They don't pitch in for anything if they destroy it with the trucks.
It is a cost-shared road that, as there's a formula that you haul logs across that, there's a dollar that goes back into this cost share. Now, the ski park has not seen any funding. The Forest Service classifies it as like a dirt road, essentially, even though it's been paved for 20, 30 years.
Okay. And then there was comment that the snow removal is not being done by Caltrans at the Snowman's Hill, and that the ski park's been doing that. Is there discussions with Caltrans to maintain their... Yes.
Could you ask them to come to the speaker?
Yes,
it's
sorry.
For me to do the minutes,
yes,
trying
sorry.
To figure out who's
You're
speaking.
You're right. You have to come to the podium. Sorry. And state your name real quick.
Kurt Reinkel.
Okay.
Over the years, there's been times when the ski park has gone down when they realize there's going to be overflow or a high volume area in snow. They go down and plow that area on the extra lot. Caltrans currently plows that area where the bathrooms are that everybody's really familiar with. But if you kind of go left and up the hill, there's another whole parking lot up there that Caltrans doesn't do anything with. And it's on, as I understand it, it's on Forest Service property, so it's like this confluence of things. I don't know when the last time was that we plowed over there. It's probably been quite a while, but you know, many of the improvements that were done relieved a lot of that pressure.
Okay. Got it. Just thinking that would help with some of the congestion there if there was more ample parking and that was maintained. And then there was another question from a phone-in call. There was concern about skiers potentially skiing into Panther Meadows. Is there potential for that?
No, there's not. Some of the questions she had on that too, like the distance to the ridge. We are how many feet? 400 feet, 500 feet? But to the top of Great Butte, we're...
In elevation.
I think.
The crow flies over 2,000
Over 2,000 feet.
So about half mile from the ridge line.
Yeah. Nobody from that side is going to be seeing any of this development.
Okay.
So the sacred areas are still going to be sacred. They're not going to. We've mitigated all that. We didn't run the terminal clear to the top of the ridge for that reason. You know, we could have added more vertical feet to our offerings, but instead of doing that, we took this into play. So we did lower that down. We tried
Okay.
That was a big discussion we had through this process.
Okay.
All the mitigation we did to try not to influence upon that area.
Got it. Okay, great. Thanks.
I'd like to address the lighting issue.
Yes, please.
There is absolutely zero lighting back there. All there is a porch light, maybe at the terminals. So the visual impact won't be there. It's going to be a daytime only lift. Will there be any night skiing back there? Operation ceases before it gets dark.
Okay.
So, and the only thing you may see up there on the hill would be a headlight of a groomer at the top portion, because as you come down, you don't see any, you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. Like they talked about the vault privy toilet having a light. Well, that is down in the basin, so it's not even in a visual aspect.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Commissioner Fowler, you have questions?
One comment I wanted to make about the native ground area. Currently, there is a power line that goes through Pamphlet Meadows to the top of the Gray Butte cell tower. The park, in conjunction with the Pacific Power, the park has granted an easement for them to reroute that line up our lift line and ultimately remove that whole electric
the span
service
through
that
Panther.
It's going to be disassembled and gotten rid of.
Oh.
All through over there. So it's a real benefit to the tribe. They've been wanting to get it out of there for years, and we've worked with them to help facilitate that.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fowler, you want to follow up on your line of questioning?
Yeah, so on condition 7, what I heard from individuals from the park is they have constructed additional parking with U.S. Forest Service permit. Is this condition 7 in addition to what they've already done?
This was to formalize it.
So we're putting in this condition for something they've already done to formalize that what they did was a requirement?
Mm-hmm. We can certainly reword it and modify it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like...
But I don't know that that's true exactly. Jim?
Yes, sir.
The other Jim. Small Jim. So I don't believe that this is actually constructed at this time. But it's mitigation for the Caltrans. Yeah, right. So
for this is overflow turnaround?
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I say. We need to reword it so it doesn't have to be constructed at that intersection. They can use the alternative.
Well, time out. We just heard, though, that we have the turnaround up at the sender 2.25 miles up the road. It didn't matter. It wasn't specifically right off 89 or 2.25 up. But what I did hear you say is you needed to come up with a plan as to where to put people, cones, etc., direct traffic, which is different than constructing, in my mind. The overflow parking's been constructed. The overflow parking plan has not been developed.
It might be semantics, but so once the traffic engineer says, okay, here's my design recommendations, then that would be constructed. So, for example, say that they want a minimum 75-foot turning radius in case a delivery truck comes up there that can't make a tight turn that the vehicle can. They might want some curb gutter. So it's there. I mean, the room's there, but there's improvements to be made. So I don't construct improvements to existing overflow turnaround would be better language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
The muddy water has been less muddied, so okay. I get what you're saying. The language here, you get it as the project engineer. The ski park understands it. County gets it. just us looking at these words going, scratching our heads going, seriously? Okay.
Yeah.
You all are happy, I'm happy. Okay. We already covered the other one. Yeah, I'm good with my condition.
The other gym.
Yeah.
I'd like to elaborate on a little bit for you on this situation here. With the construction of the new lots, we never had to utilize that this year. We hit that number once this year. And we have room left over. We did not have to turn around. We did not even have to exercise it. This may happen once, maybe twice in a year, ever. We never hit those levels except for on this rare holiday weekend on a Saturday. So that number there isn't a consistent number. We don't use the turnaround very often because we don't have to, but when we have our systems in place now with pre-online sales, technology has brought us into the future. And by pre-sales, people are buying tickets ahead of time to save that wait time. So we can gauge with the percentage calculation we use on the online sales what we're going to get in walk-up traffic and season pass traffic to know what kind of day we're going to have, say 2 to 3 days in advance of that day. So that enables us to go out there, set our strategies in place. We have a person, our risk manager, that monitors the traffic, that does that, sets up the conage, puts the turnarounds, sets it all up, stops the folks, lets them know the procedures, and if they wish to turn around, they can, or if they want to wait in line, they can.
So. Because of that condition that's in the proposal, are you going to have to endure any additional costs to satisfy that condition?
Well, if we had to put curb and gutter in it.
No, but I mean, that isn't what they're asking for.
No. Basically, it's something we already have in place.
So there's no need for that condition, is there?
No, we have that. We've been mitigated that for years.
Right.
And by adding the additional parking lots over the last several years, increased our capacity by maybe that 300 to 400 cars or more would get turned around.
But will somebody ask for an assessment of your plan? Is that what was asked? Is there additional cost going to be incurred? Is what I'm asking for what this condition is proposing.
Potentially, yes. Through the chair.
Yes, please.
Director. And I understand what Jim is saying here. This mitigation is in place to deal with the peak situations that occur, right? There was analysis done, conversation with the consultant and also with Caltrans. There was a need for this. That's why the mitigation is here to handle the extreme conditions that occur. And for that, I would recommend that the condition remain in place.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
Yes,
Rick.
Yes, sir.
By leaving that in place, could it be used without changing the wording as needed for that turnaround?
Yeah, that's the point of it.
Well, that's the thing, because if they have increased the parking, what do you say, 300 to 400? Is that true, somebody?
Yes.
Okay. That's a lot of cars.
Yeah.
And you know, so even at peak capacity, you're going to be in good shape. Is that correct?
It's to cover the what if.
Yes. Thank you.
One point to be made, the area at the cinder shack, there's a cinder shack, and then there's an area probably 100 feet square that vehicles can turn around.
I know where you are. I've been
right.
up there a number of times.
It's more than enough room for anything that would ever come up that hill.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so now for this gym, the condition 8, and I asked you about it earlier here in the meeting, the conduction of an operational analysis per the Caltrans standards prior to this next upcoming season. If I understood you correctly, it's simply to take a look at the data that was collected that was part of our packet and look at it again by somebody and give it a stamp, signing, seal of approval. Yes, this is an accurate reflection of the traffic in this area onto and off of Ski Park Highway.
Correct.
And that it will further confirm that the overflow parking, which is the plans being created for those peak moments, is adequate to meet the potential traffic flow.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So this is simply here to cover bases as what could potentially happen, saying we will address it. We're simply looking at it to confirm that this data reflects what's being done as far as mitigations.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And once that analysis is done, that 1,955 cap could be increased to 3,400.
Okay.
Yeah, the only question, and maybe I'm just not getting it, I just don't want to be constrict on exhibit page 5 of 5,
they're
exhibit
five
F.
Five.
I know, but I think it's exhibit F. Trying
yes.
to find it on my computer,
yeah,
and it's not.
It is.
It's just that one word, where we're constricting them to creating this turnaround just north of Highway 89, and I don't know that that's the best location. But if it's in writing as a mitigation that it's going to be just north, I'm afraid it's going to be at that railroad tracks, knowing how these things get interpreted, and it won't allow flexibility to actually put it in the appropriate spot. So I would just still recommend that. Maybe we strike the word
just
and just put north of Highway 89 on Ski Park Highway intersection to allow them more flexibility on where to safely construct it. Because I don't want to create another hazard by trying to mitigate the hazard.
Right. And they've already got a site that is north that will meet the requirements, rather than placing the onus on them having to construct another one that is just north. I agree.
Yeah.
Strike the word just.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Now I'm happy with it.
Stricken. You're okay with strike the word?
I am okay with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, little words like that, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
shall is a bit big difference than may, kind of thing.
Shall. Yes,
you know,
should.
So mm-hmm. words matter. Okay. More questions, Commissioner Fowl, at this point? When we go to Dusty?
I just wanted to let you know that Caltrans, Dick said they had, Caltrans has a lot of money, and I'm here to inform you they don't, because it's all being spent on Main Street here in my region.
Okay. Yeah, I could just say that. Yes.
I just wanted to add to a comment someone made when they called in regarding the AB 52 consultation, the tribal consultation. I just wanted to make sure
yes.
that we did adhere to the law of AB 52. We sent out consultation letters to the tribe, certified mail, November 17th.
Okay.
That date. So that has been done.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that note.
Yep. And I would also add that with the THP process, that
there
are ARC surveys
yep.
and consultation there as well.
Yep, definitely.
So, okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Mello, questions, comments?
Concerns have been answered.
Great, thank you.
And I want to thank the staff for a very good report.
Thank you. Commissioner Hart? Nothing.
Fine.
Good?
Everything's been answered.
Good.
Just my gripe with Caltrans. Well, they created a problem there on Snowman's Hill and along the U.S. Forest Service, and they want to shove the whole problem onto the project proponent.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They created a problem. They need to take care of it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, we...
Or eliminate it.
Yeah, I would say thank you for a well-written, well-laid-out report, especially for such a big project. It was very easy for me to find stuff, so I appreciate that. Thank you. So at this time...
Are you ready for a motion?
I think we are ready for a motion.
I move that we adopt resolutions PC 2022-009 of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors approve the project's subsequent pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, and approve the Mount Shasta Ski Park Zone Change Z-21-10 by amending the Plan Development Ordinance Number 97-26 and approve the Use Permit UP-21-30. Do we need to include in this the removal of that one word?
Just.
Yes, please.
and removal of the word just in.
Mitigation one, exhibit F.
May I suggest mitigation measure trans one?
Trans one?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
So Commissioner Deal second. This is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Aye.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Lindler?
Yes.
Now, that was on the zone change. Now, do we have to vote on the use permit? Or was the motion, was the motion good enough compiling everything?
It was good enough.
Okay. Yes. Just wanted to make sure we didn't need to follow up with the second one. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't.
Yeah. Okay. No, part of the...
I heard it as part of the motion,
yeah.
But...
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, with that, item four... any additional items for discussion or direction?
Bill?
I see we don't have on the agenda. Were we going to talk about, we will have to do it next month, the Zoom meeting?
No, that's on the agenda today.
It is on the agenda. I wrote a very short little memo that probably got.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Okay. I can't read it. Okay. Need better eyeglasses. So, okay. Okay.
Maybe we should give a second.
So, as you probably recall.
Well, one second.
Phil? Wait till the crowd makes noise and gets out of here.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it as an action item. I simply saw it as a memo.
Yeah.
Two parts to it. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so let's resume. Yep, so let's resume item four because I do see it now. Discussion, direction, and possible action regarding the discontinuance or not of the following remote attendance of the Planning Commission meeting through Zoom. County Council?
Yes. As you probably recall at last month's meeting, the issue of continuing to provide Zoom to the public came up, and whether the board wished to consider doing that. I know there were some opinions expressed regarding ability to see people. Just by way of brief background, if you didn't see my little memo, of course, we didn't provide Zoom before 2020. Then COVID came along, and under the governor's executive orders, both the board members and the public can and did attend meetings by Zoom remotely. Last September, the governor's order ended and allowed planning commissioners or board of supervisors keep meeting by remote attendance. And instead, we reverted back to traditional Brown Act requirements. In October of last year, we discussed whether the commission itself wanted to enact a resolution, which would have to be renewed every 30 days, allowing the planning commission to keep going forward by Zoom. In October, the board declined to. Nonetheless, as stated by Mr. Dean, I think last month, we kept offering Zoom anyways to the public who are not under any way constrained by the Brown Act, unlike you all. And last month, the topic of Zoom for the public came up, not the commissioners, and whether we wanted to continue offering Zoom as we're doing right now. My review of the law is that there's no legal requirement that we need to offer Zoom to the public. The board still does. And so if we wanted to discontinue offering Zoom, we can. If you want to involve, you know, I will stop it there. For the public, it's not required, and whatever pluses or minuses there aren't really any legal requirements. So it may be more generally how the board feels about how they like Zoom or not for the public.
Okay. Commissioner Fowler.
So I had a conversation with Mr. Dean yesterday or 2 days ago. Yeah. It's within the last 72 hours. understand your memo as it relates to public participation. My question for council is, if we as a commission are aware of an upcoming situation that may physically present a obstruction or an inability for a planning commissioner to attend in person a commission meeting, and knowing that we may be at potential risk of A, not having a quorum due to number present or due to stated conflicts of interest, how do we need to initiate, similar to what the supervisors have, initiate a resolution post haste? Because does it take 30 days for that to, if we showed up here at our May meeting and had the first item on the agenda was to approve or deny a resolution to allow a commissioner to participate remotely, could that be put in place and legal for that meeting, or do we have to wait before it becomes okay?
Well, fortunately, Mr. Dean briefed me on your conversation, so I came pretty well prepared.
That's why I called you.
Let me answer with some generalities first. I mean, under the Brown Act, you can, as it exists right now, one option is, which may not be preferable, is you can just attend remotely. We'll just have to know beforehand and agendize it, and then fortunately or unfortunately, we would have to also put on the agenda the location of the remote attending planning commissioner, which would technically, that location would have to be open to the public. That's one option. That doesn't require anything for the planning commission to do, other than it makes the planning commissioner's location known on the agenda when he attends remotely. The second thing is, as you're talking about, we could do a resolution. Insofar as we have to provide notice before the meeting, I feel in reality that we would have to hold a short special meeting in the next month at some point. The Planning Commission wished just for that resolution. And that resolution one requires that there be a state of emergency, which there still is, generally in the Governor Newsom's order. And either we have a social distancing order, which I checked with our public health official, and we do not, or otherwise a resolution includes findings that there is a health risk to meet. And I have looked at other jurisdictions, and they have passed such a resolution. I would be concerned past doing it the day of, because by then we've already noticed the agenda. So I think it would take a short special meeting. The third option is, I don't know, of course the applicant will probably always be allergic to their project, is that if we don't have a quorum, it just goes to the next month. So
there are conditions where a quorum can be, you can vote even though a quorum isn't present because of emergency?
You can adjourn.
That's
the only thing you can do? If we follow Roberts or if we follow the other, the one vote you can make without a quorum is the vote to adjourn.
Huh. I thought there were
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if that's true, and I'm not sure that's true, I mean, it would have to constitute a true emergency, not that somebody can't make it to the meeting.
Yeah, anyway, that's how I read it.
That would be my recommendation. If we wanted to go, what you're talking about, Bishop Powell, is that we have a short special meeting before then to approve the resolution so that we can notice the main meeting legally.
Do the commissioners feel we need to head down that path as preventative medicine? Pardon the pun.
Well, if we're talking about next month, possibly, because I'm going to have a conflict with the item I think it's going to be on the agenda next month.
Kidder Creek?
Am I going to?
We won't see that until
August.
So August.
It's going to be bumped up.
Oh, that'll be August now?
I have inside information.
So that's, it was supposed to be next month, right?
It's going to be August now.
Yeah. So perhaps the crisis is past. And if that was driving the issue, although, you know, legally driving the issue is there's emergency, we have safety measures required, not that we can't make it, but if that's driving the issue, then there'd be no need for a special meeting.
That's why I'm asking the commission if we feel that we need to...
Well, if you have it, and you have to disclose your location, then that becomes a public meeting place. Do you want the public coming into your kitchen while you're zooming into a meeting?
No.
Or out in the field when you're running a swather.
It could make for an interesting meeting. But it only fits so many in the swather.
What?
It can only fit so many in the swather.
But Blair's was the public participation via Zoom, right? That was what you were...
That was my concern. If, you know, a controversial project, I'd like to have people, if they have valid environmental concerns, I'd like to see them sitting in a room.
I do too.
Instead of just something being thrown at me.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Look at today.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the exception that it's not really necessarily an important issue.
No.
The person lives in Butte Valley.
Right.
They want us to make some... There should be an accommodation, I think, for that.
Would anybody be objection to leaving it the way it is here, but we have to be here?
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
I mean, having to Zoom, I don't have a problem with that. But what I do have a problem with, as Commissioner Fowle said, is if we have a major thing, I want to see the people in the audience.
I do. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's the technology, though, that's out there now, and I think we're going to have to get used to more and more of this.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I'm not happy about that.
Well, I don't. That's because of our age.
So two issues. Let's deal with the one first.
Okay.
Because we can't... This isn't... It's on the agenda, but it's not an action item, right?
No.
We're simply having a discussion?
That's what it says.
No, you can't.
We can make directions.
Okay. You can direct staff,
we can give
not
directions,
to
but we
as to... Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, as to direct the staff, that's fine. You want to make a motion to discontinue Zoom for the public. That is on the agenda. It's fine. You couldn't take action today regarding yourselves because, one, it takes a resolution. You're going to have a resolution prepared, but we can always come back again next week.
Okay, so deal with the public participation first, and then I have a couple more questions on the other.
So
it's just a discussion anyway, right? We can't take action.
Well,
no, we can take
public,
action on the public portion.
Yeah, we can.
It's on the agenda.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Yep.
Either we direct staff to continue the Zoom option for the public, or we direct staff to no longer provide Zoom option for the public. A or B. Or C, provide it for potentially contentious projects only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how do you... That's
cogen plants, water bottling facilities. But I mean, seriously, those are the ones where I think I would much rather have the person here because it is not easy for me to hear all of the speakers.
No, that's true.
This gal today had a good microphone and we had a good speaker. I could clearly understand her. But there are others who call in who may have very important things to say, and I can't hear them or understand them. No fault to what we have here, but it's their limitations on either their internet connection or the hardware that they're using. I can't hear and understand them. and I don't think that's fair to the whole process. And that's why I'm not really a big fan of public zooming in.
Mr. Veal?
Well, I agree, but I mean, I think there's sometimes you have to allow that. Is Ann Marsh still on the call?
I do have three members of the public that are still calling into this meeting.
Okay. Commissioner Mello, any comments?
I have to agree with Commissioner Fowle. I'd like to see people, especially when it's contentious, but how do you determine what's contentious?
Yeah, that's subjective.
I mean, you know, you can have three people on a simple item that are contentious, and then but I don't have a problem, but I think we as a commission should meet here. They want to do that too, but like today, the people showed up.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Commissioner Hart, your comments, thoughts?
I have no problem with the meeting. There are people who are physically handicapped, can't get in here to attend the meeting. They need to have an opportunity to speak, and Zoom technology allows us to have that. And if there's some communication problems, that's just a problem with the way this thing is set up, and we just have to deal with that. I prefer having people here in person so that I can really see, are you really throwing something at us that's legitimate? Or are you just throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks? And wasting a whole lot of time here that doesn't come out to anything. So I like both, having both.
I don't mind it as long, but I believe the commission should meet here.
Oh, yes.
And no
calling in. Yeah, and we'll talk about the commissioners in a second. But as far as the public, I think especially too right now with $6 gas, and you look at the median income of Siskiyou County, I'm a real big proponent of due process and allowing people to speak. I do appreciate it when people are here. It's just easier to converse and to have that interaction like we had with answering questions. Because like I thought I was speaking pretty loud and the speaker was having a hard time hearing me. And I'm not usually known for being quiet. So, but the limitations are... I think they're just, you know, that's just the limitations we're dealing with. But I would say for the public, while my preference is to have them here, I think it's technology that we just have to use, especially with the demographics of our population, how spread out we are, et cetera, et cetera. And then us, we'll talk about us after. So I don't know, I'm getting the sense that the majority of us are just keep it as is. Would I be correct in that assumption?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll keep public,
too. We can have
too.
This, but we need to be here, and yep. Staff needs to be here.
And then, moving on to us as commissioners, my personal opinion is it would not be conducive to have anybody at my house as a public meeting or at my office. So I will be here, and if I'm absent, I'm just absent. So that's my opinion. Just because of the Brown Act, if I'm out of town, it's for a reason, mm-hmm. You know.
Yes.
So it's usually not where I can work. So that's my thought. Commissioner Veal?
Yeah, I've agreed 100%. Okay.
Commissioner Fowle?
I'm fine either way. I was simply asking the question because I have, through things that I have heard, I had a feeling that in the next month or two we may be short one or more commissioners and potentially have quorum issues,
yeah.
Either due to attendance or due to one or more individuals having to recuse themselves and making sure we had that. But I completely agree. I personally, we need to be here in person. I'm simply looking at it as a preventative measure here over the next month or two, that be an issue?
And if that is an issue, maybe we can do a special accommodation if the person that was absent that would make the quorum.
And that's why I was asking council,
yes.
What exactly would we need to do if we knew we needed to do something?
And then if we knew, like, say somebody's going to be out for an extended amount of time for, like, a medical issue, as a hypothetical. And then say I have to be recused. So now
you're down to three.
We're down to three commissioners. Would I then have to like draw the short straw to have a quorum, or like how does?
Not till you get the two commissioners.
Not till you get to two. So we still have. Oh yeah, we have to quorum three. Duh.
Yeah.
So.
But
two of you can't get.
How many times have we drawn straws? I think once since I've been here.
Well, the twice with the ag commissioners.
Yeah.
The twice and I and I lost on both.
Okay.
Thank you guys.
But the thing is. Now, like last meeting, I know staff called some of the commissioners and seen if they were going to be here. So could that be, if it's a contentious item, could we have staff do that? And
well, I think it's good to know who's going to be here.
I do too.
Last month, I was knew I couldn't be back from Sacramento.
You told us the month before that you would not be here at that meeting.
Right.
Yeah. And I, when I'm absent, I at least try to let Janine know and try to, now I'll try to give Rick a heads up too.
Well, through the chair.
Yeah.
If you let me know, I make sure
everybody knows. Okay.
Because I see my emails a lot easier than Rick does because of his numerous amount of emails he gets.
Yeah.
So I usually
can see him right. We'll do that. We'll use Janine as a point person
yes,
to
please.
Communicate that. But, okay, so I think we're in agreement here. Any comments?
We should probably ask for public.
Okay, is there any public comment for those that are online?
Please raise your hand if you would like to comment on this. Ms. Marsh has raised her hand.
Okay, Ms. Marsh.
Hold on.
Battery 90%.
Go ahead.
Okay, Ann Marsh, 4628 Pinecone Drive, Etna, California. I really appreciate the ability, because of my health challenges, to be able to participate this way, and I really appreciate the commissioners that address that issue. Some of us just aren't physically able to get out and around right at this moment, and it has been a boon to me. Unfortunately, we had to have COVID to get there, but to be able to attend this way. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for listening to everything I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other? Or is that her hand still up?
That is Ms. Marsh's hand. I do not have any other people.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, great. No, thank you. So I think we're in agreement and that we will just keep things as is. Okay. And we don't need a motion. We're just direction. Okay.
And we know if we do foresee a potential pickle, we've got to have a special meeting with a resolution to pass it in order for it to be in effect for the meeting previously scheduled. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So thanks for answering that question.
Process.
There's the other option also, assuming that y'all didn't mind having a meeting at your house, which could be done once before the agenda, right? So if you saw something that was contentious that you wanted to participate in, we could do it quicker ahead of the agenda, cleaner if that one particular circumstance were to arise. Instead of going through the resolution,
Okay.
Great, thank you. So, item 5, miscellaneous. The next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, May 18th, 2022, at 9 a.m. Correspondence, is there any correspondence received? Okay.
There's one that came in the packet from a lady who had some concerns about vegetation growth.
Which one? Did I miss that?
I gave mine to.
I think I emailed that to you last time. Because I forgot.
My packet.
Yeah, there was. It was a late email.
Oh, let me.
Well, it came in right before last month's meeting, and I missed it, so I sent it to you.
She lives off of Dietz Road. About vegetation growth around her property.
Oh, can I see that again, please? Yeah.
I remember that.
I did read this. Yes. Okay. Well, this is.
I gave it to George Jennings. He's the guy that handles those fire reduction things around the county.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess he's going to look into it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, that's a Cal Fire, you know, with their fuel reduction road hazards, 4290, 4291. I don't know if there looks like it was a vacant landowner. And one thing we run into with the vacant properties is on 4291, it only makes you clear around, if it's vacant, there's no home. It only makes you clear around areas used for human habitation. There is some roadside stuff.
New language that just came down from CDF about getting vegetation removed from your buildings.
Yeah, but if there's no building on this parcel.
No, I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, in general there is. Yeah, and it's been on the books, 4291. They're just enforcing it with all these fires.
Go down to every homeowner and make them start removing everything back.
Yeah. And that was actually on last month's meeting. I was supposed to comment and report back to you guys on my discussion with Cal Fire in 4291.
Yeah.
And they said the reason they're not addressing 4291 in your guys' public comment request is because they do 4291 inspections annually to each house, which, you know, I heard, I don't know that I necessarily agree with, but that was their reasoning. But they don't do 4290 until it's triggered with development or an use permit. So that was the reason, is that they're already on a schedule for the 4291s. So, although that doesn't mean it doesn't need to be done. And I'll probably still continue to point it out when we're seeing these homes that don't meet 4291 is maybe just a point of fire safe, because, and this is not, just so we're clear, this is not me as a forester looking for more work. This is me as a forester recognizing the fuel hazards that are there in our communities. Because quite frankly, a lot of this work I don't even do anymore. Because I don't deal with small landowners like I used to. So with that, it's just, I have the expertise, this is what I do for a living, and I just want people to be aware of the fire hazard they live in. And anyways, and with that, a little bit of a side point with this is our fuel moistures are extremely low, regardless of the fact we're getting moisture. We've been tracking fuel moisture in February, March at June, July levels. So just as a heads up.
So. I don't remember exactly what this was. When 4291 came out, I think it was a friend of mine that lived in Cottonwood, had blackberry bushes. I mean, big bushes. And it was too close to his barn or something. And Cal Fire, with his 4291, wanted him to cut down those blackberry bushes. And he shared those blackberries with all his neighbors. I mean, it wasn't a little bush. And they had this big stink, but they finally backed off.
Yeah, the rules are that you're supposed to, within 30 feet of a permitted structure, you're not supposed to have any flammable vegetation.
Yeah.
That's over 18 inches in height, except for individual trees. And then with 100 feet, or you're not supposed to have a wall of vegetation, that you can have individual clumps of trees or individual clumps of vegetation, but you're not supposed to see the conditions like you see in that photo. That's
what you're saying, only good trees are stumped.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, when we're looking at fire and you look at flame length and you've got a 100-foot tall tree, the flames could easily be 200 feet tall, because flames are usually
15
two to two and a half times the height of flame length, depending on the topography and the weather. So, take heed if you live around here. So,
so on the 4290 reg, it just occurred to me, most all of you are aware that the new requirement here in California is for, if you have a mortgage or a loan associated with your home, you are required to get catastrophic wildfire insurance. Now, if you outright own it and you don't have anything against it, you don't have to. What I see happening is over in the valley, there have now been three occurrences where new homeowners have gone through the process and they have the ability to get the loan, and then they're hit. They're not even, the home isn't within the SRA. It's in the volunteer area, but they're still being confronted with a massive catastrophic wildfire insurance policy, even if you go with the CARES deal through the state. And it's making it darn near impossible for a lot of new young families to even purchase a home.
Yep.
Now, with the talk about, and it sparked, because I know CAL FIRE has inspected, even though I'm not, none of our ranches in SRA.
SRA.
State Response Area.
Okay.
Because SRA in Scott Valley is west of Highway 3. If you are on the east side of Highway 3 and headed east until you hit I-5, you are not in the SRA. But we have some ranches, my neighbor has some land that is on the west side and some that's on the east side. If that place ever sells, no, I don't. I have nothing on the west side of Highway 3. I have points of diversion, but I don't own any property. It's all east of Highway 3.
Where you live?
Yep. I'm east of Highway 3.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, I get inspected at least every other year. I wonder if there's any way the county could utilize the CAL FIRE 4290 inspection as being a mechanism for decreasing that need for insurance for catastrophic wildfire. If you met the 4290 regs, is there a potential there?
Well, I don't know if we can intervene with that, but I'd say 4291 also is probably more critical.
Yeah.
Or 91, yeah.
4290. But yeah, it's all, as you know, insurance driven. Every place that has an extreme fire hazard area.
Because nationwide dumped a lot of people in Scott Valley because of those fire maps.
Yep. Yep.
And I was one of the few that didn't get dumped because I don't have any property in the SRA, so I was okay.
Yep.
But there are others that have been dumped because of it, and you can't afford it.
No, and part of the problem, though, with that is there is, you know, special task force for this under CAL FIRE and the governor's commission or whatever, but they, in talking to some insurance folks in Sacramento, they're not going to look at individual parcels for fire hazard rating. So getting to the 91 inspection, that is on parcel by parcel. They are looking at watersheds and landscapes because these fires don't just stop on a parcel. Even our, you know, 300, 600 foot fuel breaks aren't stopping the fires because, you know, you have a 100, 150 foot tall tree with 200 to 300 foot flame lengths plus a wind driven fire. They're sparking a half mile, 2 miles down the road. Yeah. So they're looking at watersheds and these new things called pods and how fire needs to be managed within these zones. But there is a ton of money coming, like over $1 billion from the feds in fuels management and reforestation. And then at the state, they've got at least another $500,000. So we're looking at like $2 billion trying to attack this problem.
We don't need reforestation, we need deforestation. Fuel load management.
They're talking reforestation. It mainly, a lot of it's fuels reduction in these burned areas because, you know, we've had, what, 4 million acres burned in the last couple of years. And if you don't treat that fuel, it's going to burn hotter within 5 to 10 years. Like, look at the Delta fire. How many times that burned? Probably should get to, are we technically on commission comments?
I think so. You were on correspondence.
Correspondence, yeah. So, real quick, Dusty, since we've gone off the rails here, are there any more staff comments?
I do have a staff comment.
Okay, Ms. Rachel.
The planning department is working on the housing element update, and our first community meeting will be next week. It's a Zoom-only meeting, and we We also have created a Siskiyou County Planning Facebook page, which we are disseminating information on regarding the housing element update and any meetings associated with it.
We also have a website as well.
Yes, and there's a website that is on the Facebook page that you can link to.
Okay. And what's the process or time frame, rather, excuse me, with that coming before the commission? Are we still a year out? Or
I think that we are looking at August for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so question, Rachel. Mr. Dean and I were just talking before this meeting started regarding the elements of the general plan. And you just said the housing again, because we already looked at it and updated it at like 9 years ago. Well, it's before y'all were here.
Yeah, it's required to be updated every 8 years.
But that's the only one that we updated in the entire time I've been on this commission, in 20 years. And so we will have updated it twice and none of the others once.
Correct. So.
Okay, I'm just making sure I heard that correctly.
Just for general information, the housing element is key to a lot of funding.
Okay.
So we get a lot of pressure to make sure that that one is kept in check. So
okay.
And then for your information as staff, and I was talking to Mr. Dean about this earlier, transportation and it was transportation and what was the second one?
As you mentioned, noise, was it?
Noise. Transportation and noise. We had a first reading here for updates on those two, but then they never came back. So those two are sitting in a file on a computer or on a shelf somewhere, and were already started for, they were supposed to follow the housing element after we updated it. And Blair and I were both on the commission when we did it, and then we had the first reading on transportation and noise, but never saw them again for the final adoption. So, just as an FYI.
Yeah, thank you.
Commissioner Hart, did you have?
Yeah, three things. What's the new construction going on up there on Foothill Drive?
That's a
that's a housing.
Is that the homeless thing they're
doing?
Yes.
No, it's.
I thought they were all just discussing it. They've already got money to go building stuff. Wow.
It's a.
How come the county can't act that quick?
It is the county. Part of it. It's a county grant for the city project.
And it's also be the mentally impaired place for them.
Transitional housing.
Mm-hmm.
Transitional.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't have any here, but I don't know why they're building.
When the Kidder Creek project comes about, I suspect there's going to be a room full of people. Is this room going to accommodate that? Do we need another location?
I think that's in the city limits of Wairega, so being city council.
Right? City he said Kidder Creek.
Oh, Kidder Creek.
Bigger.
Oh, sorry.
Bigger capacity.
What did you think he said?
I thought we were still talking about the housing.
No. I'm talking about when we, you know, like,
yeah,
with Crystal Geyser, you guys went and rented my gym because we had a room full of people.
For the co-gen, we did it.
Again, if we're going to have people come, you don't want them standing out in the hall.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but.
Sure.
Potential's there.
Potential.
Yeah, we'll get a try to get a read on it.
Okay.
And make the proper decision. Hopefully, it's the right one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And in our discussion about the timeline on that one, I believe you mentioned so it's going to the clearinghouse on the 1st of May, and then potentially we would soonest hear it would be August.
Yeah.
May I suggest that we do it in September, because our August, if I am not mistaken. Let me double check to make sure, because almost always our August Planning Commission meeting is during the fair. It's the Wednesday of the fair, and
it'd be the 17th, and our fair is the 10th through the 14th.
Okay, so we're all right. Okay, that'd work.
I'd like to keep the date, already push it out a month for the applicant.
Okay, so that will be August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a third question?
No, I got a fourth one now.
Okay, fourth one?
Just kind of a follow-up. Whatever happened to J.H. Ranch project thing? We've been talking about it for 10 years. It disappeared and gone.
Yeah, so we have them back at the table. We're talking about it right now.
Having a conversation. That's a new word. We having conversations.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's all.
I got a couple.
The first project we had, the gentleman asked for another 2-year extension, or 18 months.
Yeah.
He runs that out.
He's
that
done.
Whole thing just goes away.
Yeah.
He can reapply just to restart all over again. He's not prohibited from doing that. So he truly does run out. He's not out of options, but he'll have to start all over.
Yeah, start all over again.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be more constraints on water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Veal.
Yes, there's two things I have. I get asked, how could we approve that service station where it's located at the end of Fair Lane Road?
Service station at the end of Fair Lane?
You don't know about that?
Road.
It's within Wairika city limits.
No, it's not.
At the end? No. Is it?
No,
it's
in
the
county.
Oh, that's...
It's where they were going to build the
it's
casino.
The
that's the tribe, right? That's
yeah.
Tribal
that,
land.
Is that the word is that it belongs to?
Yes, so... the Alturas tribe, separate from the casino, which is a
so that is
it's
exempt from
sovereign ground. Yeah,
sovereign,
we don't have any jurisdiction there.
And be prepared, there's more going on up there than just that jurisdiction.
Yeah, we've been.
Anyway,
it's gas in the county.
Huh?
It's not your jurisdiction.
Gas in the county.
So
cheapest gas in the state.
Yeah, I know. He keeps raising it as the as a real thing.
You've been up there.
I have been. I talked to Darren. And he got a big grin on his face. And he said, he's like, I got lots to go on up here, but I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is just a sideline. And looking down here, a lot of us have been doing this thing, public meeting, so forth. And I've noticed that used to be we'd have commission comments. That was it. Okay? And then we'd have commission comments. And now you've defined commission comments fairly well. I went to the Wairika City Council meeting last night, and they had, instead of public appearances, they have a big line of what you can say and who you can say it to. And so is there something changed? I don't think these additional comments have come from the public. This must, are the natives getting restless or are we getting off the, what's going on that you have to define public comments and commissioner comments?
I'm the one who added in the definition of commissioner comments. It's straight out of the statute. It's just to give everybody notice what's okay and what's not okay. And I think at some point we started to go down a year or two ago down the path of a specific project which was high priority, high visibility, and had me sweating a little. So I thought I'm going to put in the statutory guidelines of what commissioners can say without having it put on the agenda. And all those things we say to talk about.
So did Wairika get the same note? I mean, why did that change?
I cannot speak to the city of Wairika agenda. What I have put on there is straight out of the Brown Act, the straight status.
Yeah, okay. But it just, it's odd it hadn't appeared before.
It's been in there for probably a year, I don't know, a year. But
really?
Yeah, and I'm the only man.
And now they call them unscheduled appearances rather than public comment.
Got it.
That's all. Yeah, that's all I have. Just
any parting commissioner comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. Fell.
So, to Mr. Dean, curious with the governor's latest continuation of the emergency drought declaration. One component of that was a complete cessation of all ag well drilling in medium to high county basins, which hit Siskiyou County. So does that mean you all at the county level have now notified individuals that did somehow happened to get a well drilling permit for an ag well to replace an existing one? Are we at a complete standstill for ag wells then in Siskiyou County, or is there some workaround for those who are in waiting with the well driller
because they're so pushed out to get a replacement well for a well that has collapsed.
So I believe the permit has been issued. You can still occur.
But you are not issuing any more permits until this executive order has run its course or the governor lifts that restriction.
Correct. And there's the verbiage in that is specific to DEPT proposed permit has to be run through the GSP.
Which we don't have because we're in waiting to get it kicked back to improve it. So if we don't have that, does that mean that supervisors or you as the county can serve as that GSP in the short term and say it's okay? Well, that was my question.
Yeah, so at this point we're using Natural Resources Department.
Okay.
To vet those out.
Okay.
It's all complicated, right? So we've had the first reading of the moratorium for Scott Valley specifically, which we put a moratorium on applications. Unless you're going to do a repair, you're going to do a replacement of what you already have, potential deepening, which we're really challenged on already. That process would also be gone through Natural Resources.
Until we have the GSA, GSP finalized and blessed.
And that's specific to the public trust doctrine.
Okay.
And so there's eyes on that. There's eyes on whether or not it's compatible with the GSP or not. And the other thing that's a new lane, so to speak, from the governor's order is it requires that GSP, the reviewing committee, evaluate whether or not that well is going to affect adjacent wells, which is new ground. And I think it's probably unconstitutional personally. It's never been the case before. And that applies to the four basins. Moratorium that we had first reading on through the board is specific to Scott Valley and the public trust office.
Okay.
So there's no moratorium over here, but you're just not allowing that to occur in Shasta Valley.
So there's no specific moratorium in place anywhere yet to the county level, or Scott, or Shasta. We'll have the second reading coming up in May 5th.
So I know I spoke with you earlier about if you wanted to drill a new well and abandon another one.
Yeah.
Explain that more good a little bit.
So it's basically like for like. Same property,
right?
Same diameter, same depth. Mm-hmm. Not a problem.
Same depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't go deeper.
Say again.
You can't go deeper. You can't increase the volume you're extracting from your well that you are capping. It has to be apples to apples.
Okay, if the capped well is dead,
you can do an identical well somewhere else on your place.
But you have to go only the same depth.
Has to be same depth, same size.
Sure. If the other one is the same depth and it's not working, what the hell? Yeah. How are you going to know that the one that you're drilling is going to work?
Horizontal drill.
Yeah. So there may be one caveat. I mean, at camera level that we have. So if you had adjudicated right, like in Sky Valley,
right?
To irrigate X number of acres.
Uh-huh.
From our perspective, I don't care how deep you go, because you're going to be limited to that volume for that acreage that you're irrigating. Depends how the decree is written, basically.
All right, so what about trading an adjudicated right off the stream in exchange for a well?
Yeah, so we would entertain that at the county level.
Okay.
And none of that's in place right now, right? So we have to keep separate the governor's order versus what we have to deal with on the public trust doctrine.
Well, it's...
So the governor's order doesn't have any mechanism for that.
Okay.
So they can change...
I'm just looking at options for knowing myself, but other people... In Shasta Valley, you don't know where you're going to find water, where you're not.
Right.
But if you want water back in the stream... Oh, wait a minute. If you're already giving up stream property to the public, fencing it off...
Yeah.
Put water back in the stream. All right, now I'm going to give you the whole right, because I think there might be water here because we've already done the geology, done the
the ground radar stuff. And there's no guarantee there's water there. But it's one of those things, just one of those options on the table.
Yeah.
So there's still maybe a potential to go down that road for some of us.
Yeah, so outside of the governor's order, with the GSP and with Dr. Harder and Dr. Ferrivia, the concept is to not have any increased consumptive use.
Right.
So in that situation, if you had a water right, surface water right,
uh-huh.
that you wanted to forgo for drilling the well,
right.
to offset that,
mm-hmm.
then we would evaluate that.
Okay. So what about a well that's caved in, you need to get it cleaned out?
Go clean it out,
okay. Because it's a permitted well, it's been in since 1970.
Maintenance.
That's what I'm looking at.
Told me
and then we'll knock on your door when I get a complaint. This guy's drilling his well deeper.
One well driller is 8 months out, the other one's almost a year out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's got 60 permits in his hand right now, and he says there's 40 more sitting on your desk. They're all out there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So you just mentioned that if it's an offset for a surface water right, is the county, does the county have a process in place where if it is an adjudicated, obviously most chances are it's going to be an adjudicated surface water right that is within a water mastered basin, are you going and conversing with the water master district to assess whether or not there would be potential harm downstream to downstream users for the abandonment of that? Because there's some unique cases in some of these watersheds where if a surface water right is abandoned in lieu of a well, and the county says you can do that, you could have potential harm to residential water supplies because that ditch is no longer flowing. Do you guys have a mechanism to assess that?
That's all the natural resources ball game. But I think in that situation, that water continues to go down the ditch. That's the trade-off. It continues to, the whole thing is recharged at the top.
Right.
So you're not going to take your surface water right off of that ditch. You're going to allow it to do what it does. So it would go downstream.
But if it terminates, hypothetically, say the ditch terminates on my place, but it passes above 9 residences, you're saying you're going to keep the water in the ditch. Well, okay, who's going to maintain the ditch? And B, that water's still going to end up at my place, and I've got to do something with it now if I'm not irrigating because I've put in a pump in lieu. Where's that water end up? And that's why I'm asking, do we have a process in place to assess that?
No. Okay. Jeff, you're getting into water law here. And what that water leaking out of that ditch and going down slope somewhere, those people don't have a legal right to it.
I know they don't.
We're going way down a rabbit hole. We don't want to be going down.
Well, that's why I'm making sure the county's thought about this to make sure there's a process in place.
Where you have targeted diversion to the aquifer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
To accomplish that. So if you're going to get up your water right for your well, at whatever time of the season, you create a recharge basin, fell into that.
Glad my water comes out of a faucet.
Because we've got a project where we're intentionally putting leaks in the pipe so that there is a certain amount of water that typically would be coming out of the ditch in an earthen ditch to re-filter for wildlife, refugia, etc. And so that's why when you say, okay, you swap one out for the other, boom, the ditch gets shut off. What about the rest of that potential impact?
So, Jeff, back to the project out in Montague about audit of water rights on specifically decreed properties. I can show you 1,000 acres out here in Shasta Valley is being irrigated with a decreed right on taking that decreed water right and putting it on property that has no legal right to have that water.
So back to all, it all ties together.
Yeah.
So with the water that's leaking out of ditches, canals, whatever, going to homes, subdivisions got put in because, okay, yeah, we got water. Well, is it percolating groundwater, or is it because of those ditches being there? Those ditches are now gone away because of efficiency and demand back in the stream. Who has a legal right to that? You go back and you do a full audit in both valleys. You got a right to this much water on this property. It goes there.
Right.
No place else. And that's all coming. It's just a matter of when. So, again, this is something we don't want to get into here at all. No.
Any other final comments?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, I make a motion. Sure.
Good job.